episode number 300. Wow.
They may not need your product now, but they're going to remember that interaction. They're going to remember the way you treated them, the way you engaged with them. And down the road, oh my gosh, that's right. Travis Huff. Yes, I know exactly what they do. And I'm going to go purchase from them because of the way they made me feel.
Welcome to the Be Real Show with Travis Too Tall and Huff, where we talk about life, dreams, social media, and business.
Well, hello, and welcome to the Be Real Show with Travis Too Tall and Huff. Folks, I'm always fired up, but today more than ever, because this guy, we've been connected for many, many moons, and he's actually the host of his own show. We'll get into the nitty-gritty on that. But he is just going to engage you with new ways to think about digital, new ways to think about social, and obviously how to direct your business and getting more engagement from your customers. You know, here going forward, we all need to work at this. And so we are super excited to bring our featured guest today, Mr. Bernie Fussenegger. Bernie, are you ready to be real?
Absolutely, Travis. And thank you very much for having me as a guest. I know this is something you've been trying to do, and we've been trying to do, gosh, for 2, 3, 4, 5 years, maybe. It's been a while. I do know that.
It's been 5 years or so, man. We've been connected on LinkedIn. Yes. When we saw along the journey, our paths aligned, because Bernie is, he has a business that helps people understand digital, understand engaging customers with digital and social solutions, and been doing that for many years, 15 plus years in the industry, guys, working for marketing, e-commerce, web development. Working with lots of big brands too. Papa John's is on the ticket there. I remember many, many moons about that, trying to talk about the journey there. But then now it's more into the, you know, learning about the customer journey, learning about the CRM, your omni-channel path, as well as also just consulting and giving you some strategies to how to actually embrace this going forward. And so now you're doing it all the time as well, folks, as he is the host of the Digital 360 Chat on Fridays, which is very cool as well, and a lot of engagement around that show. But excited to have you on the show today. How's your day going today?
So far, it's going good for a Monday. As we were kind of talking about earlier, you know, a lot of challenges with everyone working from home, restaurants, yes, businesses, and at least for in Louisville, today we're 50% open. So bam, hopefully that'll start helping a lot of the local businesses that have been struggling. So, I mean, trying, yes, to think more about, you know, how can you support local? How can you support, you know, a lot of these individuals, small business owners, and,
oh, yeah,
you know, it's an important step, I think, today to hopefully get them back to where they need to be.
Right. Yeah. I mean, and also just the mindset, you know, and the only way that we can do that is also by helping them support them through our sales and through our, you, yes, know, the monetary efforts as much as we can. Some businesses, folks, they're going to go away. It's just the reality of this thing. If you were highly leveraged, if you were in the wrong industry or space specifically, and you didn't have, well, you know, a year or more of capital,
right,
or deep pockets, or also just investors that are willing to believe in you, it's just a time to maybe pick a different journey. So it's not a bad time. It's also a time to pivot maybe your passions and interests in life. And,
yes,
and you're seeing that in many different ways. You know, we're seeing possibly a baby boom, they're saying, this year, with obviously my wife being pregnant, seeing that on my social feed, lots of people, families being pregnant, which is maybe good for society in the future, because they say that, you know, people were kind of slowing down on getting,
right,
pregnant. And so maybe this is a good thing in some cases, that we needed some more, you know, kids for the future. And obviously, let's just be real, that's what's going to sustain this whole thing, is the future generations. And so you know, there's possibly a lot of positive, as well as obviously we're talking the vaccine and things like that. So we are going to get through this, but I think
also for the business side of it, and for the brands and those that are still around, it's, you know, a shift in their philosophy as well. And you know what I mean by that is, you know, customer expectations have absolutely changed over the last 8 months, and, you know, what they expect from brands, how they engage with brands, how they interact. And I think, you know, going forward, you know, that expectation still needs to be met. So brands need to start listening.
Right.
They need to start using their social. They need to engage. They need to be part of conversations. And they really need to start building those relationships differently with their audiences and with their customers. And really, you know, what I mean by that is, you know, it's not one message for everybody. It's, you know, using social to listen, to understand what it is and what their expectations are today, and how that could potentially change down the road. But, you know, a lot of times in the past, it's that one message for everybody. We're going to blast it. We're going to broadcast. People don't want that anymore. They want that individualism. They want that attention. But more importantly, they want to be heard. They want to be talked with, not at. Mm-hmm. And they want to be part of the conversation to really, you know, understand what that brand is and vice versa. You know, you taking the time to really understand who your customers are, who your audiences are. And, you know, that's something I think that's definitely going to change from here out going forward.
And guys, I remember many, many moons ago, since we started our business 11 years ago, but it probably was somewhere in the first year or two. And I remember nurturing a customer with our team he was saying, what's his dream vehicle? Mercedes. It was the brand. And he was talking about what his dream vehicle was. And we were just kind of chit-chatting with this one comment. And that comment turned into a over $50,000 pre-owned vehicle sale for the dealership in a period of time. It wasn't right there.
Right.
But it was through a period of time, and there was no direct inbox messenger. So this was happening all on the Facebook wall. We eventually, you know, got a gentleman's contact information, and we had a follow-up that we found exactly over 8 or 9 comments, guys. You know, what color car he wanted, what vehicle, what price range, was he looking for new or used? And then also we talked him into, hey, we got a cool convertible. You got to do a convertible, you know? And so the whole point was, that's when I knew that this thing was not only, you know, just, you know, obviously he gets out to more than just one person right. when a post out, but the real reality with that one was if you have genuine conversations with people, it turns into something, whether that's a sale, whether that's just a good impression, whether that's a great interaction that they tell someone, hey, you know, I talked to the eBay on social media today and they did a great job just getting back to me about the details I had a question about. It doesn't have to always be an actual sale, but that you left a good taste in someone's mouth, I like to say, right? And that's the start, man, because I think so many brands avoid that because
That's an important part about social, I think, is, you know, you have the ability to engage, to show a more human side, if you will, to be personalized. And when I say personalized, I can, you know, at you and say, hey, Travis, I mean, you know, we can have that conversation back and forth and without selling. Right. I mean, technically you are kind of social selling, but you're bringing more awareness to your brand. You're bringing more awareness to yourself. You're building long-term loyalty down the road to where, yes, they may not need your product now, but they're going to remember that interaction. They're going to remember the way you treated them, the way you engaged with them. And down the road, oh my gosh, that's right. Travis Huff. Yes, I know exactly what they do. And I'm going to go purchase from them because of the way they made me feel. And also the side effect of that is, you know, you've got a following, you've got people that you talk to. And as you tell your friends, you know, they're going to trust what a friend says over what the brand says all day long. And, you know, you're building that trust, that loyalty that then comes back to, I think, in my opinion, help you tenfold if you're really genuine and care about what it is that you're doing on the social side of it.
I think that's where there's maybe a lack of resources put to moderation, commenting back, et cetera. Obviously, a lot of these brands can amplify. It's easy to just put out a post and get, you know, tons of engagement around it. The hard work is there's in those comments people's frustrations, there's people's excitement, there's people's questions. And if your brand is not spending any amount of time in the nitty gritty, because a lot of times, let's just be real, that's the hard part.
Right.
That's the time that takes all the damn time of social. It's easy to quickly put a post out on social, guys. I mean, I can literally in 3 minutes or less put post out, you know, and put a post out on a page and find the content. I mean, it's easy to do that. The hard part is what happens when someone's commenting, has a question about that product and has this and that, or someone says, hey man, I got my product with you and I haven't gotten it back. And they're frustrated and they're mad that you know, you see this with some submission services, with the public service, PSA, a great card company, but they own the market in submitting cards. And so they got a big backlog, guys. And so people got their cards with them. They're mad. You see it on the social media posts. The point is, you can amplify easily, but the hard part is now the effort part of social, guys, is getting into those comments. And that's where I think brands are missing the ball in some cases. Now, some of them could say, hey, you know, we're too busy. We already got enough stuff going on. But then that's what you can say. You're just not putting enough resources into that effort.
And, you know, with that effort, you know, you talk about bandwidth and all that. But I think a lot of the traditional marketing, they still want to put that direct ROI. So right. If I do this, I'm going to get X, 10X from a sales and transaction. But in reality, if you are engaged on social, think about all the impressions that you could potentially be getting that you're not having to pay for. And, you know, the more you engage, the more active you are, the wider reach and, you know, net that you're throwing just because of that impression. And, you know, as your name begins to grow and more people engage with you, you're actually generating a tremendous amount of awareness for $0 spent.
Yeah, and that's what the algorithm wants, guys. I mean, all the algorithms are going to look at your engagement. And so how often you're engaging back is as important as how many comments you're getting, et cetera. And so if you want to beat the algorithms, another way to get in there is to start engaging. Even on your own personal Facebook, if you guys don't believe me, start going in on your old photos that you haven't commented back on. Comment back, and all of a sudden, you'll start getting new likes on that photo. Literally, it will happen today. If you don't believe me, go back on a photo from October. Go back on something long time ago. You'll instantly get some new likes on a photo that's old because you engaged with someone's comment that you haven't engaged with before. And so that's the whole point, is that your brand can do that too. It's a way of beating the algorithm, guys. It's a way of staying relevant. It's a way of people feeling that you're real. It's a way of people feeling that you're not so untouchable. And so I think that's the message I could always put out to the universe, to these big brands out there. Is that there's teams that can help you guys out there. Remember, absolutely, there's people that can help you. It's just you need to dedicate a little bit more resources, because it's just going to take time to cultivate those direct messages. It's going to take time to back at people on any of the matter of platforms you're on, and then consecutively do that every day. And you kind of mentioned it there.
Briefly, you know, the platforms people are on. So really it comes back to understand who your audience is,
right?
Where your audience is at and how they want to be engaged with. Mm. So, you know, you've got all these social channels and all these different varieties to look at. But if your audience is only on LinkedIn or Facebook, that's where you should really spend your time first.
Yes.
Understand it, learn it. And as they shift into new channels, then you do as well. But don't feel like you have to be in 18 different places when your audience is actually only in a couple places. So be very smart about it.
Yes.
You know, those resources are valuable for your team. So, you know, try not to spread yourself too thin, but understand the channels, understand the audience, and understand the content that they want to engage with and interact with back and forth.
And right now, what are some of the biggest challenges you're seeing in businesses, and they're coming to you and talking to you? What, I mean, obviously we got the lockdowns and things like that, but outside of that, in digital or in reaching customers, what other challenges are having?
I mean, some of the challenges I see right now is, you know, the personalization, one-to-one. What are the tools that you even need for the MarTech side of it?
Gotcha.
As you know, I know for the last 5-6 years, we've been talking about a lot of personalization and creating a lot of relevant content. You know, we're inching closer, but it's understanding, okay, what are the tools that I need from a MarTech
right,
to truly execute this omni-channel? And you may have the best tools in the world, but it also comes back to the social listening part, is you've got to have bandwidth and you've got to have teams to then help you with, you know, a lot of those programs and how they can, you know, really achieve and success and drive that forward. You know, when you look at a lot of brands today, how many are truly listening and really with their message? Did they change their message because of what's happened over the last 8 months? Have they changed their message, you know, to be something more consistent with what their consumers are wanting? I think that's another challenge that we see.
Right,
but really,
right,
when I look at, you know, how do you use social media to listen, to then get into your personalization across all your channels, and really understanding your full customer journey are three areas, you know, going forward into 2021,
yeah,
where I like to talk a lot about with, you know, the brands that I'm working with.
And that customer journey has changed, obviously, guys.
Yes.
They want things online. They want things to come to them. Amazon's been very popular, guys, before this pandemic, but they've gotten more popular. And that's for the same reason. And same thing with the food, and same thing with pretty much probably everything from medicine to, I even imagine, doctor services, pretty much everything.
Everything has changed. Absolutely.
Should eventually just be able to come to you, right? And so it just makes sense.
And that's the other thing, that's when you look back 8 months ago, you know, it's not the CMO or the the president or whatever that says, okay, we got to go innovate in all these different areas. Brands were forced to. Yeah. And, you know, a lot of brands made a lot of the right decisions to go where the consumers are. But just think about how that technology and innovation has changed just in the last 8 months and how expectations have changed just in 8 months. That's a small period of time.
Right.
And things have changed dramatically in that amount of time. And our expectations, you know, have shifted dramatically as well. So when, you know, anything online anymore, I really don't even have to walk into a store. I mean,
yeah, you could crazy.
Curbside, you could do whatever. And I think, you know, that's going to be around for a little bit as more and more people really may not be as comfortable going into a location, but they can drive up and surely pick it up outside. So, you know, those expectations have totally changed and it's driven by an event, not one particular person or department or area.
Right.
You know, those departments stepped up to meet the need. But once again, you know, it's understanding what those needs are going forward.
And so many industries. I mean, it like what we're recording on right now, guys, Zoom, I've been doing this for like 4 or 5 years. I was an IPO investor in Zoom. So it's been a great trade or investment. Unbelievable investment, transparently. But Zoom has transformed the business model. I mean, I was watching an interview a few minutes to 30 minutes before this conversation, guys, and had Kevin O'Leary, CNBC, Shark Tank, you guys all know him, Mr. Wonderful, talking about how he did a deal this week with one of his businesses that would have cost him $35,000 in business travel. He did it on Zoom in 30 minutes, and the deal got done, and no one had to spend any money. Just think about that. I mean, if you can get business done at the same level or even less of a same level, but you have less expenses going into and less on the road. I mean, to be on the road, guys, it wears down your body. I mean, you spend 7 days here, you go 7 days there, you go 7 days there. You know, you're wiped out more than you realize. And obviously all the celebrities and entertainers from Joe Rogan and all these people that are on the road all the time are realizing that right now in that their bodies are feeling better because they haven't been every night at a different hotel and eating, you know, food on the road and blah, blah, blah. And they've been able to still do some other things. Like if you had a podcast or if you were able to hop on Zoom and do interviews, you can still promote the things you want to talk about and not put the expense, guys. And so businesses, they're going to be more profitable, guys.
A buddy of mine, he's a lawyer, so we were talking about that last weekend to where he's not having to travel anymore for depositions. They can jump right on Zoom. He gets what he needs, saves the money, you know, the clients. I mean, it's amazing how people have truly adapted to Zoom. Right now upstairs, I've got two daughters that are in school, and both of them are on their Zoom. And luckily, the bandwidth and all being sucked up right now to where we can actually still talk. But, you know, that's how they're communicating with school right now. And it's actually pretty cool to see them adapt to the technology to communicate with their friends, with their teachers, with their schools. And it's fun to watch from older people to younger people, how they've truly been able to adapt this quickly.
Yeah. From FaceTime, Zoom, all different types of technology, guys, but business is going to come back, but it's not, it's going to come back a whole lot differently and possibly a whole lot more profitable if you can cut out all these frills. I mean, I've been talking to more and more investment startups, et cetera, as well as people, guests on the show that say they're cutting out millions of dollars possibly in real estate for this next year. They're trying to get out of their leases. They're trying to get out of real estate they don't need. They're definitely not signing new leases. No. You know what I mean? So they're working with what they have. And people are pretty happy working from home overall. Now there's always pockets of all different sides, guys, but overall, people are actually pretty happy and still stay about as productive. But imagine this, guys. They don't have time in traffic. They don't have time wasted just sitting around water cooler bullshitting. And so they can spend that time more on themselves. They can spend that time reading, educating, spending time with their family, watching a video, watching content that they like. And so in general, although we're not getting as much interaction as we'd like in the water cooler, around the office, et cetera, time, even face-to-face with clients, we still get it in different ways in that we're doing things we like to do. And so we've never got to do some of these things because we weren't around our houses as much and we're always on the road here and we're always out going here and we're always busy traveling places that now we get to experience what life gives us and that, you know, we have our families to appreciate. Oh, we got, you know, start to, you know, I became an even bigger sports card investor this year, guys, and started a whole business around it because I realized, oh my God, after Kobe passed, I realized I had a bunch of Kobe rookie cards and a bunch of things
that were
of value that I had been holding on for 20 years, guys. And so the point is, in general, that's what happens when you spend more time at home and you're not in Hawaii or not somewhere on the road. You're looking at what you got around you. And so I think that's a good thing too. And that, you know, people are more appreciative, and obviously, you know, hence everything goes good here. I think we'll be back to normal 2021, 2022, but now is the time, guys, to lean in on your businesses. If you can, you know, if you can, if you're able to work harder, if you're able to take an investment, if you're able to position yourselves differently, I would say that there's going to be competitors that go out of business, and the market share of the pie of the business will become your share will become instantly bigger, and so you will have less to compete with.
And this is, I think, a great time also to talk to your customer. And this isn't on social. Pick up the phone.
Right.
You know, create that list of your top 20, 100, you know, customers that you have. Talk to them. Yes. What is it that you want? What is it that you need? Are we still able to meet your needs? What do we need to do as a brand to change? But, you know, talk to them, call them, visit, you know, any way that you possibly can. This is the time to do it. And this is also the time to, you know, look internally. What do we need to change to continue to move forward to still be profitable? So there's a lot of, I think, individual soul searching that needs to happen for the brand, but also, you know, listen to that customer, talk to them, and pick up the phone and have the conversations.
I love that.
And that's the thing that people forget to do. Pick it up.
Or Zoom someone, you know, feel free to get that face to face, guys. People like that too, man. They really do. They like that. It can be a 5-minute call on Zoom, guys, and it changes the client's interaction with you. It just brings a lot more, especially if you've never met the client. They get to know you instantly. You know, they get to see you personally. They get to feel you, you know, talk to you for 15, 10 minutes. Or if it's longer, you know, longer. But the point is, it's just easy for both parties typically. And if for the most part, it really works. So like I've been doing the show for 5 years before this, it was Skype. But the point was, is that it really works. I don't have an in-person show. I wish I could. I wish I was Joe Rogan. I could just fly your ass out here, Bernie. And come on out to California, baby.
But that would be fun.
One day we're going to get there. But the point is, you know, you can do these things at scale, guys. And so don't let things hold you back and say, oh, I can't do this because I don't have this. It's just, no, everything is out there for you. Start doing it. And that leads me into you and your journey a little bit more about the agency too. Tell us a little about the agency and what the development or journey in that process was.
Okay. So this is, I mean, it's been, so, I mean, honestly, I've been at Papa John's for the last 20 years.
Yes.
And doing digital social media or digital marketing, email marketing, content. And they're kind of transitioning to Atlanta.
Right.
So, honestly, my job's not going to be there in March of next year. But, you know, in parallel with my employment with Papa John's, I've always had my solo on the side, B2The7, where focused a lot on the, you know, the digital, the social, the email marketing, website. And really this year, it's kind of amplified it even more to where, you know, this is something that I can do, we can do moving forward is, you know, how can we help brands and where do brands need the most help? And right now, a lot of social media content, a lot of social media creation, a lot of community building, how you can build that community. Then also a lot of brands, they're not really looking to hire, but they need that digital consulting. They need that digital insights of, okay, here's the programs that we have. Now let's have somebody from the outside come in and do an evaluation of the programs, the tools. You know, are they the right thing? Are we focusing on the right areas? SEO is a great example of, you know, you could have all these pages, but if you have limitations with your website, if you have limitations in the way you can actually update it, if you don't even have the resources to manage SEO, I mean, that's a great advantage of the organic side. But, you know, it's things like that of helping these brands and these companies with their digital needs on that side. Yeah. And then working with really another concept that we're working on is a lot of social digital creation for brands that really don't have the resources from that angle as well. And it's, you know, how do you tell a story? And a lot of brands aren't telling their story. And how do you tell that story? How do you, you know, bring that story along? And it's, you know, not just we sell this, but who's the human element, the human side behind the brand? and letting people understand who you are as a person. But then how do you bring in customers and audiences to talk about your brand so that, you know, people have that. So it's helping, you know, that's another focus, is helping brands tell their story on social, whether it's, you know, whatever channel, whatever their audience is. But, you know, you have that ability through video, through creative, through, you know, a lot of the assets themselves to truly help in that regard. And that really goes back to everything we've been talking about pretty much for the last half hour or so, is building relationships, listening to your audiences. Mm-hmm. And, you know, a lot of brands are not doing that. And, you know, that's a void I think we can fill moving forward as far as the social storytelling for a lot of brands.
Oh yeah, they're all going to need that, as well as also it's a partnership. You know, I think that's the benefit. I know when we started ours, we really found a partnership with agencies, and that they needed the support, and that they weren't going to want to hire all the staffs to do all the social content creation. And we could kind of step in, and then they could lead us in that. They knew a lot of the other aspects that they, who they wanted to target and all these bigger picture stuff. And it was a win-win for both of us, because then we didn't have to worry about a big sales team reaching out to people and calling people. And and we kind of figured out, okay, well, we don't have to spend a lot of money in sales acquisition. We got to spend money on having the team when the customer wants to do the work, and that we have the team to do it for them, you know. And that was kind of the win-win. And then I think going forward, I think it's only going to be more. I mean, I think more and more people are going to count on consultants big time to lead the ship. And also it's just for the risk of it all. Well, I mean,
and even for these same brands, you mentioned the sales teams, and, you know, sales has totally changed in the way they should be hopefully addressing this.
Outreaching,
and it's not a cold call on, you know, on a phone, or that LinkedIn DM message that's four paragraphs long.
Jesus.
How can you give these guys and women and gals the tools that they need to build that human personal side, to build relationships? And it's not just an email or whatever, but how do you engage and act to where you're top of mind for when someone's looking to sell? So, I mean, you know, you got the marketing side, but you also got to help the sales side as well.
Absolutely. Yeah. That's the other misconnecting part, is that they got all these advocates of your brand guys that are walking around and you forget that they could all share your post. And if you had everyone, I tell this all the time. You guys want to know how you go viral today? Get every single one of your employees to share your next post. That's it. That's the definition of going viral, is getting shares on content. And a great way of doing that is having your staff share, because they all have friends and family. They all have, and a lot of times the people don't even know what these people do. And if you can get the team, I would call them, or your allies, your advocates, your army,
to your brand ambassadors.
Yeah, your ambassadors to share, guys, your content, you're instantly going to start beating the algorithm too. That's another thing. It's like Google, or, you know, Google, Facebook, for instance, guys, is going to immediately go, oh, wow, they're getting tons of shares. Let's give them some more organic reach. And so this is the thing. It's just a great way of getting, for sure, your content to get more people reach, is just to start with your team and having them share as much as you can.
Well, that's a resource that's not even really taken advantage.
Not even tapped. Yeah, it's not even tapped. It should be part of their job requirement. Like, I always tell, like, the best businesses make them feel like they need to, not that they have to, but they almost like want to, right?
Right.
And so, and then they get a routine of it by creating some sort of competition, competitiveness to it all. Like, someone wins a day off, or someone wins something, you know, and then you see that it becomes a thing that they want to do every week or month. And so then it becomes easy. Once you get people used to it, oh, all I got to do is find the post and share it. That's easy. It takes me 30 seconds. No problem. You know, that's the thing too, is making it easy on the team. So coming up with a little email or something. Hey guys, this is the steps. You got to do ding, ding, ding. It takes 2 seconds and you have a chance to win a paid day off, you know, something like that. You know, it gets the team moving, man. And it's the best thing that anyone listening that has a business or a page could do right today. I mean, it's the number one tactic, because it's free relatively.
And it shows personality for the brand. It shows who's behind the brand. You know, you don't necessarily have to be the CEO that does all the talking all the time, but you could also have, you know, the people that are doing a lot of the work and letting their voice and letting their personality represent the brand in a good way.
You'd be surprised, guys. Like, some of the biggest brands in the world don't get more than 10 shares on a post. And you could be getting more than 10 shares on your little post today by having your team share it, guys. So just another great tactic. Couple more last questions, man. Are we going to take you into our top 10? Are you ready?
Let's go.
Apple or Android?
Apple.
Apple. Netflix or YouTube?
Netflix.
Netflix. Instagram or Facebook?
Instagram.
Instagram. Chicken or steak?
Steak.
Steak. Laptop or smartphone?
Wow, that's a tough one. Now that I've been work from home, it's been more laptop. But yeah, when I was in the office, it was more smartphone.
Right. Yeah. When you're out and about, the smartphone. But when you're stuck, man, you got it. That laptop is just it's so fast. These laptop now guys are so fast and so good. I was hopping on my old one that I first started my business with, and I was hopping on my new one, and it like took like 30 minutes, it felt like, to load up the opening screen of the old one. I was like, oh my God. Movies or video games if you're thinking about relaxing?
Movies.
Spotify or Pandora for music?
Wow, that's the only two?
Those are the only two. Or you can do Apple Music. Apple Music's another really popular one, guys, as well.
Amazon Music? Can I do
Amazon
that
Music. There we go. Jeff Bezos, baby. Getting richer by the day. Another guy that has figured out some really good ways of marketing right now and telling the story with his recent one I saw on some sports stuff where it's like the package sitting there. You kind of see the package view, and then you kind of goes through all the things that he's been doing to help deliver and save and protect and this and that. And then it has the essential worker that's opening up the door and getting the package and bringing it to your door. It's a really – it's another smart way of connecting to you.
They are at our door every single day.
Man. And on the thing is, guys, they make so much money. It's insane. Reading books or listening to books?
Reading books. Got to
fill
the paper.
Get that book, baby. Get that book. Stocks or real estate if you're thinking about a new type of investment, something different.
Stocks,
my favorite too. Oceans or lakes when you're thinking about a vacation?
Ocean, nothing like the ocean.
Where would you go right now if you could hop on a plane or feel comfortable to hop on a plane and go?
Let's see. Our favorite is Ocean Isle, North Carolina.
Oh, nice. How far of a plane ride would that be for you?
Well, we drive.
Okay.
8 or 9 hours.
Oh, that's not bad. Yeah, that's not bad. It's like driving to San Diego.
Yeah.
So that's coming for you guys soon, hopefully.
Yeah, I hope.
We all deserve it, man. We all deserve a little vacation. I told my wife, I said, as soon as we can get on that plane and feel good, we're going. Because right before the pandemic, guys, we had a trip booked for a week to go to Maui for my daughter to experience Hawaii for the first time and everything like that. And then when the pandemic hit, we were still going to go. And then literally they shut down trips there. And so Then they had open up stuff, and it's kind of wishy-washy. You kind of stay quarantined for a week in your hotel. So we want to go back when you can kind of walk around and feel
whatever. Yes.
Yeah. And so, but man, I'll tell you what, when we get a chance to get somewhere, I'm taking 2 weeks, baby. I'm not going 1 week. I'm going two. Let's go. When you wake up in the morning, Bernie, and you're getting ready for the day, why do you love being you?
Well, I look around. I see my daughters. I see my wife. I see my two kids. That's all I need.
All you need right there, dude. Stay grounded. Family is everything, right?
Absolutely.
It will always humble you, but it's always the biggest blessing at your end of your days to know that you created such a blessing.
Absolutely.
Do you think you'll ever retire?
I don't know. I look at my dad, and he worked, gosh, and he's still alive, but he worked at the same company for 55 years as a
farmer,
which is totally that just doesn't happen anymore. My father-in-law worked for Ford for 40 years, which is another one of, it just doesn't happen anymore. I don't know. I love what I do. And, as I enter through these new phases of my career over here over the next few months, there's something new to learn every single day. And I just don't know how you would not be doing something that you enjoy doing. That work may not be a paid work. It may be volunteer work down the road. It may be something else, but the minute you stop is the minute you get old and the minute you really start dying. You can't stop.
So true. That's when they say the synapses in your brain start going away. So like you make new connections in your brain, guys. The more you're challenged, the more you kind of feel stressed and you get through it, or you tackle a new project, or you learn something. And so actually new connections in your brain are being formed. And if you don't have to do that at all and you kind of just sit around and play golf and just do these things that don't really require any challenges to your mind, they say those start to go away. And that's what you see. Like you see all these deteriorations. Do you have a routine to start your day?
I do. I still have the same routine that I had when I was actually going to the office. Get up, not as early.
Yes.
But I still get up, take a shower, get ready, get dressed. I still check email in the morning while I'm doing all that. Then I come the ride to work, the commute to work, so much easier. I just walk down the steps and down here at the office. But I mean, I still try to stay with that same routine of waking up, you know, taking a shower, getting dressed,
right,
getting my Mountain Dew on the way back down.
And boom,
I'm good. And but I think, you know, routines are important, just, you know, for your body, for your mental health. And then when you need that break, making sure you have plenty of breaks and you're taking time for yourself throughout the day, whether it's a walk, whether it's a run, whether it's just get away from the computer, get away from the work.
Right.
And at the end of the day, you know, shut that laptop.
Yes.
Walk away from it. Don't feel the need that, oh my gosh, I'm working from home, so I need to work 3 extra hours every day.
No.
Don't do it. And, you know, have that life work balance. And that's really important, even more so today,
right,
to have that routine.
Have the routine and then take that break, guys. Take the break. I really appreciate you, brother. You are an amazing dude. If you could sit down to a steak dinner with anyone in the world, who would you want to sit down with?
Wow. That's a great question. But honestly, I'd love to sit down at the steak dinner with my grandfather.
Let's go. Absolutely.
So much from him, and just, you know, listening to the stories from the old days to where we are today and how much things have changed, and just listening about, you know, the sacrifices that have been made. I mean, you know, those conversations I miss from my grandfather and some of that. So that would be one of the reasons why, but just to see him look around and be like, what is all this stuff that we're doing? And what is all this technology? I think it'd be an interesting conversation to have just from somebody that was born in the 1900s, early 1900s, to, you know, 2020 of, whoa, what is all this?
Man, what a blessing. What a blessing. Yeah. So many things have changed, man. So like you said, but nothing like the grandpa, nothing like your grandpa, man. One of my biggest heroes too, as well. My grandfather, and also all the stuff they went through, the wars, oh my God, all the different things they've gone through, and then didn't have phones to keep us at bay and send us things and invest and do whatever, you know. It's
insane. They didn't have a button to roll down the window. They had the hand scoop thing.
Crazy, dude.
They actually had to use a key to start the car. I mean, just some of the little things, just all along the ways. It's just amazing if you sit down and think about what our forefathers went through to even get to where we are today.
And where we're going to go in the future, baby.
I know.
Let's go. Well, I really appreciate you, brother. Can you give our listeners, where's the best place for people to find more about you or connect you on social?
Yeah. Okay. So I've got my branded website, btothe7.com. I absolutely love Twitter. I mean, Twitter is probably my top social channel that I'm on most of the time. That's where I've got my Twitter chat that I host on Fridays. It's Digital360 Chat. Follow that hashtag. We have guests just like this, but instead of, you know, having a topic, we ask about the guest and, you know, where they got in their career. LinkedIn would be another one. Very active there. That's probably, you know, my 1A. And on Twitter, it's at B7. But those are the areas where you can find me almost every day. Not all day long, but most of the time.
Most of the time. He's there, folks. So you guys got to connect to him. Bernie, you are a great dude. I am so glad we got this show done, guys.
Finally.
And I pray that this show gives you a little bit more light on your customer journey. And I hope that you take the time to explore how that looks in your business and step it up going forward, guys. There's no excuses. Well, folks, you've been hanging out with Bernie Fussinger and Travis Too Tall and Huff. We want to thank you so much for your time today, and let's keep being real. What another epic episode. And if you enjoyed the episode today, can you please do me a favor and subscribe to our podcast, The Be Real Show, on iTunes or your favorite podcast platform? And also take a little time today, if you don't mind, and give your boy T Huff a review. I would really super appreciate it. And thank you so much for listening today. We're all going through a lot right now, and Real-Time Outsource, my business, is giving back to local and small businesses. Through our social media services and campaigns, we are actually helping small businesses get more exposure during these times, and also when we get through these times. At the end of the day, we don't know how long this is all going to last, but most importantly, you got to think about your business right now. Take it seriously. So
come check us out at realtimeoutsource.com, realtimeoutsource.com, and we would love for you to qualify and get the process started where we can take a look at your business and see if we can qualify you for some of our services little to no cost for most of the businesses. And some businesses, you know, you're going to have to pay, but that's just part of life, right? But most importantly is that I think this is the time, folks, that you can actually help thrive in your business. And so I would love to help you personally with our team. We're all going through a tough time right now. So take advantage of us. Realtimeoutsource.com. Check us out. And we would love to do some business with you and help you with your social and digital media in 2020 and beyond.